Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the law firm of Davis and Davis. We're not a real law firm. Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen. Okay, so we're here.
Welcome to Davis and Davis, the law firm that you cannot count on.
Thank you. I'm exhausted. It's been a long week already, and it's only Tuesday.
Why are we so exhausted, Scotty?
Well, actually, bad news. One of the ladies that used our services expired last week Monday. No, last week Sunday, and yesterday was her funeral.
No, I'm sorry.
It's okay. She doesn't feel anything now.
Not for her, for you.
Okay.
Maybe you liked her. I don't know. You'd have to have feelings for that. Who knows? But whatever. Okay.
She was a Dallas socialite, and I mean, Billy Lee Rippey was phenomenal. Now, I know you're not a sports fan. There is a hockey team called the Chicago Blackhawks.
I've heard of them. Okay.
They had a minor league team here in Dallas, and her husband, Bill Rippey, I think it was Bill.
We're going to go with that for now.
And I may just bleep that whole shit out.
It's okay.
Anyways, he was the owner of the CHL team that they had here called the Dallas Blackhawks. You would have loved her. Here's a woman that never drank, never smoked, never did anything, but smiled all the time. And I was like, wow, that's very nice.
She's like the female Mr. Rogers.
Okay. So I just got confirmation. Yes, it was Bill Rippey. His actual name was William Mac Rippey. And he died in 1995.
Oh, my.
Which was 4 years before I moved to Dallas. I met Billy Lee in 1999. Wow. I didn't really think much of it. She was one of the bigwigs who donated money to the Dallas Theater Center all the time.
Bless her heart.
This woman did everything. I actually did the video for her funeral, and I had pictures from the Cerebral Palsy Foundation, the American Heart Association. She was big at the Dallas Country Club. She was one of the top donors for the Dallas Summer Musicals. She was in the newspaper every week.
Oh, wow. So more of a philanthropist than a socialite, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't, you know what? I think they kind of go together.
Hmm. But she was a philanthropist first and a socialite later.
Well, no, she was a socialite first and then a philanthropist later. She was the cotillion. She came from money, always lived in Dallas, married an oil tycoon, and it was funny that she had a house. There's an area here in Dallas called Highland Park. Lawyer. Sorry, he was a lawyer. And I should have known that because one of the pictures actually was from a law firm. Anyways, let me they lived in an area in Dallas called Highland Park. It's ritzy. It's where Southern Methodist University is. It's a very
exclusive.
Yes.
Got it.
Okay. You will not find a home in Highland Park for under $700,000. The house that she was in was, I think, right around 4,000 square feet. It's one of the older homes in Highland Park. It is guaranteed now that she is gone, that home will be torn down and a much, much larger home will be put in its place. But she lived in that home for 60 years, I think it was.
Oh, geez.
And I mean, there were pictures all over, and it was like walking through a history book.
A time capsule.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a great woman. I know Kristen's going to miss her. I know that I'm going to miss her. She, even with all of the troubles that I dealt with at certain times, she was always there trying to fix things. So I give the woman a lot of credit because I'm not the easiest person to like.
There we go. You're barely the easiest person to tolerate. What are you talking about?
You are not the first person to say that to me.
Oh, there's another sound bite for you. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, which one is that?
It's understanding that allows people like myself to tolerate a person like you.
Now, I as the audience is going to find out, I have a new soundboard, so I'm able to kind of do drops and stuff. And I please do not email me and tell me that I'm a racist for playing this one. But
oh, no more Yankee my wanky. The donga needs food.
Long duck dog. Kenny Watanabe, I think is his name. I love him.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is piss and moan like an impotent jerk and then bend over and take it up the tailpipe.
It's going to be a long night, people.
So, Scott.
Yes.
What are we drinking tonight?
I know I sent you a picture earlier.
I saw the picture and I recognize it as probably being really good.
Let's see here. Because I don't have the bottle sitting right in front of me. Elijah Craig Small Batch 1789 Kentucky Straight Bourbon.
Ooh.
I am officially about to take the first sip. It is on the rocks. That's it.
He's contemplating his drink, swishing around his mouth, trying to come up with words.
I will say this. It is not bad. It was $35.
Okay, so, yeah.
It would be better with Mixer.
Oh.
Sorry.
You'll have that, you know. And maybe that's just your taste buds now. Maybe after a couple more sips, you'd be like, oh, this is the best thing I've ever had. But
and that could be because I've been drinking beer for the past hour or so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Have a bourbon called Rebel 100.
Rebel 100.
So it's 100 proof. For being, and usually 100 proofers or 90 proofers are usually, they hit you a little strong. This is very smooth. This is a very straight drinkable bourbon. This one was in the 30-ish dollar range, I think, at my store. And my stuff costs less than yours. This is maybe a $40 bottle to you. Okay. But I just got some ice cubes and my Star Trek cup, and
money was a little bit tight this week, so I didn't go splurging. I almost actually went to my good old everyday bullet bourbon.
That's really, and then finally my store got back the Devil's Cut, but I was like, nah, I want to try something different, so I have something. Well, you know, another review to, you know.
We actually have a place here in the mid cities, which where I live in the Dallas Fort Worth area, it's called the Mid Cities. I'm halfway between Fort Worth and Dallas.
Got it. Okay.
But there's a place right down the street called Halls. And Halls has the largest selection of beer in the state of Texas.
Ooh.
They,
that's a bold statement.
Well, they import from everywhere. They have Great Lakes here.
Oh, wow.
Great Lakes is not a national brew.
No.
It is a craft brew from Ohio.
You could probably go a couple states away from Ohio and pick it up, but that's probably about it.
Yeah, he has it specially brought in. Halls is great, and to top it off, Halls has a barbecue shop attached to it.
I mean, like, so, buy the dry rub and all that kind of good shit?
No, you go buy the meat.
Ooh.
You go buy a pound of barbecued brisket to take home with your bottle of bourbon
or your six pack of whatever beer that you get. Nice.
Well, Texas is extremely weird about hard liquor. So Halls was one of the only places in the mid cities where you could buy it up until about 3 years ago. The city that I live in, Irving, passed a liquor law about 3 years ago. This was a dry city. If you went to a restaurant in Irving, they had this thing called a Unicard that you had to get. It's not given by the state, it's given by the restaurant. But if you are caught drinking in a restaurant without a Unicard, you can't be prosecuted, but you could be kicked out. Basically, what the Unicard was all about was the restaurant that you were drinking in became a club. So the Unicard was
your way membership
the club. Yes.
Interesting. So kind of a loophole-ish. Interesting. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. So, anyways, I don't know how I got off on that tangent. We have been...
we talked about alcohol.
Yeah.
So I would suggest you maybe put Rebel 100 on your list of something to try one of these days. It's pretty goddamn smooth for being 100 proof bourbon. I'm super pleased.
Here's what. Okay. Now that I've given the Elijah Jones or Elijah Craig a little bit of time to settle in, it's really not bad. It's strong because it's 95 proof.
Mm-hmm.
Or it says 94 proof. Okay, whatever. What's one? It is good. It is good. I could drink this straight. It's not going to
let the ice melt a little bit longer than normal, but yeah.
It's something that is not going to go on my, hey, this is my top fave.
Yeah.
Thing. I am still there is a Texas bourbon that, when I come to Ohio, I'm going to have to bring with me. It's called 1794.
Ooh.
It is, wow, it's incredible.
We all got Deep Eddie Vodka out there, man. Their grapefruit vodka is the bomb. Holy crap, that stuff is killer.
There's some really interesting breweries and craft places out here in Texas, but I digress. All right. We had a challenge to do this week. It's movie review week, guys.
But it's a versus movie review.
Actually, before we do this, I think I need to talk to the audience real quick about what's going on with this show. Burke and I usually do a show that's long enough to where we can cut it into two shows. And that is what we're going to do from now on. So you will get a new show every Tuesday and every Thursday. As today's Tuesday, right?
It is.
Yeah. So a show should have come out today. I can't remember what it was.
You put that on an automatic drop basically. And
yeah. Yeah, okay. I think this was the movie review, the Fugitive movie review part two was today.
Well, then what was that real quickie thing we did as a just in case?
That went out last week Tuesday, and then last week Thursday we released the first part of the Fugitive.
Okay, gotcha. So Fugitive tonight.
So the second part of the Fugitive will be tonight. The show that you're listening to right now will be Thursday.
Part one should be Thursday if it's long enough. And let me tell you, I can usually find some shit out there on the interwebs about movies and stuff, but the Gumball Rally has not a lot of info out there on it. Tons of stuff about Cannonball. But man, just not a lot of stuff about the Gumball Rally, which is sad because I love the Gumball Rally.
Michael? Yes. Bye, Mom. All right. We're going to have to take a break here for a second.
Which is okay. So,
all right.
We'll be back in just a moment.
All right. So, there will be shows every Tuesday and Thursday. First off. Secondly, as everyone knows, I also run the Cleveland Sports Fan.
I bet y'all had a lot to talk about just recently.
But who cares? Here are the facts. We, the Davis and Davis Show, last week surpassed the Cleveland Sports Fan and listeners.
What? Thank you all. What black magic fuckery is going on here? You all talk about, I mean, you hit the fucking Super Bowl.
No more Yankee, my Winky. The donga need food.
I don't know. I have no clue. We have almost tripled over the from the beginning of the year to now.
Oh, so we have three people listening. That's awesome.
Wish it was that low.
Now you got to start watching what you're saying a little bit. That sucks.
We are up. We are up over. We're up over 300 listeners every week.
I honestly thought the shit we talked about nobody cared about. Holy crap! Okay, once again, thank you all. All of you out there, that's awesome. Thank you for your support.
Yeah.
We're gonna keep bullshitting our way to fame and fortune.
I do not understand it at all. I honestly thought that like the Cleveland sports fan would be something that people would love. You know, it talks about sports, talks about the Browns, the Indians, and lo and behold, sitting around and talking with dirty minds seems to really resonate with people.
It's like we are the great time killer. Yeah, golf clap.
I didn't even give us the good clap. I mean, I gave us the golf clap. I don't know. I digress. Okay. So anyways, our goal this weekend or these two shows that you're going to get out of this
was a versus show.
It was a versus show, but it's actually two
separate movie reviews almost at that point, but
yeah, we're reviewing two movies. We're reviewing The Gumball Rally, which came out in 1976, mm-hmm. which was the year before they actually started keeping track of box office revenue.
Really?
Which is why you don't find a lot on the interweb about how much money was spent, all that.
One site was like this number and another site was another number. I'm like, okay, you know how much they spent on the budget. So we'll put disclaimers on the whole budgetary thing. And
I finally gave up on figuring out how much money they spent. I know how much money they made off the film.
Which begs the question, which film will we talk about first?
Well, I think you kind of have to go in succession here, because
so that would be the Gumball Rally came out, what, 6 months before the Cannonball Run? Is that correct?
No. The Gumball Rally came out in 1976. The Cannonball Run came out in 1981.
That was that. Okay.
Let's see here. That's right. I took photos.
Ooh.
Because of the fact that I suck. So The Gumball Rally came out in 1976. Let me bring up.
And that was the year that I moved from Georgia back to Akron, Ohio, and I was just in time for the Blizzard of 76. It was great. So yes, directed by Charles Bale, who goes by Chuck, who was a stunt driver, if I recall. Written by said Charles Bale and Leon Capitanos, who did the screenplay and also helped with the story. Notable people in the cast: Michael Sarenson, Norman Burton, Gary Busey, John Duren, Susan Flannery, Harvey Jason, Stephen Keats, Tim McIntyre, John. A lot of old timers, like the two guys in the old British car. They were driving a German car. I'm sorry, they were driving
the Mercedes.
Mercedes SL convertibles. And all that. They had done
that was J. Pat O'Malley and
oh gosh, Von Taylor.
Yes.
And they had done live television in the 50s together. So it was kind of a reunion for them, which was kind of nice.
J. Pat O'Malley played Alfred Hitchcock in a movie, and I can't remember freaking what movie it was. He was in tons of crap.
Oh my God, yeah.
There were a lot. I mean, you forgot Raul Julia.
Well, we were coming up to the good stuff there, and I just lost it.
Sorry.
But let's see. Who else was in this thing? Med Flory was funny. Yeah, but Raul Julia, absolutely one of my favorite. Other than Gomez Adams, this may be my favorite performance by Raul Julia ever. I just absolutely love him as Franco in this movie. First thing. Yeah, no, it is.
If it's behind us, it doesn't matter.
The first rule of Italian driving. Ching. What is behind me is not important. How many times have I used that line in real life? God only knows. Well, my Triumph, my blue Triumph.
Yes.
The mounting peg actually stuck up in there. That's how it was built. You could pull the mirror off of the car. And I had done that at one point. I grabbed it, pulled it off, and tossed it in the back and uttered that line at one point in time. But yeah. And I'll start off by saying in this review, I love the Gumball Rally. I think I like it more than Cannonball Run.
You're high.
Well, I have my reasons, but you know, but anyway, so I did not get to watch it in its entirety. I watched many clips of it through the past week and everything like that. So stuff that you would like to say about the movie.
The Gumball Rally is based off of the actual Cannonball race.
Cannonball Baker Coast to Coast Memorial.
Yes.
Which Brock Yates ran solo the first time and then got people involved in it. Mm-hmm. So it was,
and then he quit. He decided that it was getting too dangerous. You came up with an idea that was too dangerous. there is a lot of similarities between the two movies. I have to say I like the Cannonball Run better than
I thought that might be the case. So that's why I'm asking for your opinions and little bits that you have found first.
But when I watched both of these movies, they're both almost exactly the same. The comedy's a little different. The writing is a little bit different.
Yeah.
You know, instead of an ambulance, you have a police car that they're changing the logos on every state. Yeah.
Which actually, that was actually Brock Yates' car in the second actual Cannonball Run that he did.
I think
there are pictures of him next to the ambulance. So,
well, when we get into the Cannonball Run, we can talk more about Brock Yates. Because Brock Yates is a huge part.
Of
the Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
Back to the Gumball Rally. The Gumball Rally intrigued me because of some of the cars that were used.
Uh-huh.
There's other aspects of this movie, like all of the scenes that were shot of the cars in motion. They were being driven by the actors.
That's right. Because the director, who was a stunt coordinator, got him and his stunt coordinators on the movie to teach all of the actors how to actually drive correctly and safely at high speeds. So I don't think there is a single Dolly Toad, where they put a car on a trailer, and then the car towing it's got the filming equipment and films them as if they're driving. I don't think there's a single shot of that in the entire movie. There are stunt people driving and doing some of the, because at one point the Camaro goes up on two wheels in the LA freeway. That was a stunt driver. That was not Gary Busey.
Yeah.
But when they're driving at 100, 120 miles an hour and you see Michael Sarrazin and Raul Julia driving a Ferrari and an AC Cobra, those are the real actors driving those real, and those were real cars. None of them were replica cars. They were real, honest to God cars, which, and that was one of the first movies to ever not dub car sounds onto car chases and stuff like that. When you heard the Porsche tearing through Manhattan on a Sunday morning where they shut down the roads, when you heard the Camaro, when you heard the Ferrari, that was that actual car driving like a bat out of hell through Times Square in early morning, and it sounds like there's the one scene where like some random guy is like, he hears all these cars tearing ass through Manhattan, he's just looking around like, what the hell is going on? It's like, I'm in the wrong spot.
There's a man, you just killed one of my trivia questions.
No shit, bastard. I'm sorry, man.
That's okay.
That's just me pontificating because I love this movie so much.
So synopsis wise, tell me what part of the movie made it your favorite?
Wow. I absolutely love the near the end when the Cobra and the Ferrari are tearing ass in Los Angeles, down the river, in that the floodgate river cement monstrosity that they have running into Los Angeles. It's just such a fun scene, and it sounds so good. And I can watch that movie. There's a couple parts, like the motorcycle guy is really the token comedy bit. And even his stuff isn't really over the top too much. Tearing through New York, tearing through LA. It sounds so good. It's just a much more real feeling film. Like I think that's, if you watch that film, you get kind of the experience of what that race really was all about.
Okay. I'm going to name off a few little stats here for
okay.
you. Rotten Tomatoes. Guess what it rates on their tomato meter?
Probably 57. For the critics or for the.
No, on the tomato meter.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go 50.
Their
I'm
ranking.
I'm going to go 57.
36%.
Ooh. That's rough, man.
Audience rating.
Mm.
65.
Yeah,
out of 100.
Yeah.
Although
it got better reviews from Siskel and Ebert than the Cannonball Run did.
Really?
Oh yeah. They hated the fucking Cannonball Run.
Let's see here.
Hated it.
Roger Ebert. Although we are all going to have the greatest difficulty ever remembering the name of the Gumball Rally, it is a pleasant, slick, inoffensive entertainment. They gave it a 2.5 out of 5.
Okay. Shall we wait till later to find out what they said about the Cannonball Run?
Oh, no. Well, trust me. I have this all laid out. We're doing the first movie first. And then we'll do the second movie.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
Let's see here. Variety's review. Former stunt coordinator Chuck Bale produced and directed, but he didn't have much of a plot.
Yeah, and
but I would have to disagree with that because the cannonball race is a plot. There is a plot there.
Yeah. It is not any kind of movie going to be getting any kind of awards. You know, I mean, there's a lot of just enjoyable films out there, fluff films. And this is one of them, but it's just a little more real. I guess it really depends on your mood, because I do have some slapstick moods, and I will go for the latter. Or if I'm, you know, wanting to get my, you know, high octane, you know, fuel on, I go for the former. You know, it's just whatever you're feeling that day, kind of thing. So,
let's see here, Roger Eder. From the New York Times, people who pay money to see this effort to find knee slappers in the 55 mile an hour speed limit will also make amiable fools of themselves. Needless to say, the critics were not happy with this.
No.
But the critics were not happy with either of the movies that were chosen for this week.
Yes.
You said that this is one of your favorite movies.
It really is. I don't have a ton of movies that I physically own on physical media. This is one of them.
Okay.
Did you find out about the budget?
Ah, yes. I was just about to bring this up. Okay. I still am having problems with COVID, so none of my electronic crap will respond to my fingers.
Oh, yeah. And it hates looking at your face, so it doesn't work there either.
Shut the fuck up.
His iPhone, he holds it up and he's like, yeah, I'm going to pass. I'm good.
So what I'm going to do is piss and moan like an impotent jerk and then bend over and take it up the tailpipe.
So, number one in the box office for 1976 was the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, wow.
Starring Jack Nicholson and Louise Fletcher. It made $56 million in the box office that year. Number two was All the President's Men, Dustin Hoffman, Robert Redford, Jack Warden, Jason Robards. Oh, I love him.
Oh, yeah.
It made $29 million. Half as much. Mm. Let's see. The Bad News Bears comes in at number four with $22 million. Let's keep going down here. Up, up, up. Here's one that we're going to talk about a little bit later. Murder by Death
with
Peter Falk, yes. Alec Guinness, Peter Sellers was the number eight movie that year and made $18.8 million. Huh. Just below that in number nine was Jaws.
Oh, wow.
Making $16 million. And then number 10, making $13,850,000, was Blazing Saddles by Mel Brooks.
Oh, God. Of course, that thing has probably made much more money in the years past that. But
now, let's see where the Gumball Rally came in. I want you to take a guess.
25.
Okay, you're going 25? How much money do you think it brought in?
I would say it probably brought in maybe $9 million.
Mm. Dun, 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 dun. Let's see here. I have to find that. I have to find the A-team. 31st, the Gumball Rally. Michael Saracen, Tim McIntyre, Raul Julia, and Gary Busey. With a whopping $5 million.
Hey, they made money. I think their budget was 4.5.
Their budget was all in cars.
Yep.
All right. I think it is time to do our little trivia moments here. He already ruined me for
for what?
Because I had it listed that all the cars were real, which
yes.
For people nowadays, especially people that watched what happened with the Miami Vice thing,
or Ferris Bueller,
it became a very important it gets expensive to use real cars, especially a car like a Ferrari Daytona, a true 1974 Ferrari Daytona, where there was only 170 some made. And they used two.
Mm-hmm. One is a backup, but yeah, but anyway. Do you know who owned that red Ferrari at one point in time?
That was the damn trivia question, jackass.
It was Mel Blanc of Bugs Blanc. Bunny fame.
Blanc.
Blanc.
Blanc. It was very French. Bugs Bunny.
Sorry.
Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny. He was million the voice, other voices.
The voice of Bugs Bunny. Do you know where the other chassis made its fame?
Star is Born.
Okay, you got all of your trivia from IMDb.
There was no other fucking source. It was bad. It was tough.
Dude, it was... It was
this film has so little info on it out there. It's just scary.
There was not a lot to go off of online with this movie.
Nope.
First off, most people that were that had anything to do with like reviews or anything like that didn't even write reviews for this movie. Siskel and Ebert were the only two bigwigs that actually did a review.
I think the New York Times might have done a quick review, but it was like a blurb. It was nothing.
Yeah.
There was a movie. And yeah. I will say in everyone's defense, if you ever watch this movie because of what we're talking about, the music sucks. Dear God. The music sucks. I almost wish somebody would take that movie, re-edit it, and put a real fucking soundtrack on that thing, because the music is just god awful. So just ignore the music. And unfortunately, they don't play it a ton. But yeah, it's bad.
Okay, so what was your favorite part of the movie?
One of my most favorites, and this is probably one of your trivia things, is the fact that the Jaguar would not start.
Damn it.
And I know why now. I never knew. When I first watched the movie, I was just like, oh, okay.
It's a Jaguar.
That car doesn't start. That's kind of funny and everything. It's and then when British. I owned fucking British cars and watched it again, I was like, holy shit. I totally get it now. Fuck. Oh, God, that's hilarious. I mean, I've never watched a movie a third time and laughed out loud at something that I just didn't get.
It was that was my funniest part of this whole flick. And it was it's because I've owned a Jaguar. I had a Jaguar XJS. And I tell people this story all the time. The year that I had came with air suspension. It had it had everything. But the thing about the air suspension, notice I keep coming back to the air suspension. Because when the air suspension breaks, it is $5,000 just for them to figure out where the fucking leak is. That's just in labor, guys.
Yeah,
I took it to the ugly. I sat back and I went, I fix semis. on my own, I can figure out how to fix this. Second, for anyone that doesn't know this, the airbags actually protrude into the trunk of a Jaguar.
Oh, God. British engineering at its finest.
It is not just outside. I mean, you literally, unless you go and take it to a Jag specialist, you will end up cutting through your trunk
to fix the fucking car
to replace the airbags in it, or to replace the air shocks in it. Oh, it's bad. Oh, it's bad. That's so that is.
Did you stumble upon the reason that they did that to the Jag in the movie?
I'm sure I did, but go ahead and give me some. Okay.
The producers had approached the company Jaguar and asked them to provide a car for the film. Jaguar refused. So the producers obtained a Jaguar seen in the early scenes from elsewhere. Then, in an apparent act of fuck you in retaliation, filmed the in-garage scenes of the rally send-off with a Jag being unable to participate because it refused to start. It is a 1974 XKE V12 Series 3, and the unreliability of that car was legendary, apparently. It actually made Time Magazine's 2019 list of the 50 worst cars of all times.
I just read that. That's freaking hilarious.
And I know we're not supposed to talk about the other film, but in the other, in reality, I believe Brock Yates actually did drive a Jag to success in one of the actual runs, which I found fucking amazing.
I don't know if he did or not. I
someone did. Someone did the entire real race in a Jag. And it finished, which that's a miracle on its own.
Did you write down the Playboy centerfold trivia?
No, but it was like a number of 1971 and 72 girls, if I recall.
Well, actually, 71, 71, 72, 74, 76. So it was Liv Lindlin, Heather Van Every, Vicky Peters, Francine Parks, and Dana House, of which none of them were any of the ones that I met at the Autorama the 1 year that I went.
They were probably a little long in the tooth at that point in their career.
Yeah.
How about the shot of the Ferrari when it was being followed by the helicopter?
Do tell.
Well, they were trying to get a shot of the Ferrari speedometer, but the helicopter, and they used many helicopter shots in this movie, the helicopter couldn't keep up. So they finally got the shot by mounting the camera on the front of the AC Cobra and driving behind the Ferrari to get the shot of the speedometer going over 120.
Oh, wow. Did you have the trivia about Norman Burton?
I don't have that written down. What is that trivia?
Sadly, Norman Burton would end up dying a few years after this in a car crash. And Norman Burton was the police officer, I do believe.
Yes. Yes. Lieutenant Roscoe.
Roscoe Peak. Coltrane,
which is maybe where they got the Roscoe P. Coltrane thing from. You never know.
It could very well be. The Cobras used in filming were actually serial numbered, so they were CSXs.
They were real. Yeah, everything they used was a real car.
So the CSX, for anyone that doesn't know, is the actual designation for the Shelby Cobras, which nowadays are worth just about everything.
Millions.
Yeah. Big time bucks.
So we had a 1966 Ford Shelby Cobra 427 side oiler, the 74 yeah. Ferrari Daytona,
yeah,
74 Porsche 911 Targa, mm-hmm. 71 Dodge Polara 440 police car, and 1970 and a half Chevy Camaro Z28. Those are the cars that, well, no, I take it back. The Camaro didn't finish, but the other four did.
Well, the Camaro finished in a way.
Finished himself up in the... And I love that scene, too. Damn, almost made it! Fucking Gary Busey.
Gary Busey, man, I tell you what, it is sad the shit that this man has gone through, because he was incredibly awesome.
Well, he was so weird, but yeah, I loved him in this film.
Do you know where the Mel Blanc
Pearson Automotive Museum?
Okay, there you go. There you go.
Yeah. We're sharing all the same stuff in here. So. Okay, so what about the girl at the end of the film?
The Honkin' Hooters.
Yes, Emergency Plan Alpha, I believe, is yes. how Sarensen referred to it as. Do you know who that was?
Oh. Gosh. No, I don't know who that was.
That is Linda Vaughn, who was an American motor racing personality who is described as the premier beauty queen of stock car racing and the first lady of motor sports. She was named Miss Queen of Speed at Atlanta International Raceway at 18.
Wow. She
was chosen to be the queen of the 1961 Dixie 400. They give her stats in body measurements, which were kind of incredible, but she was also like Miss Hurst of Hurst Shifters. She was Miss Hurst of, yeah. And she was also in Stroker Ace.
Wow.
And inducted into the Motorsports Hall of Fame in 2019.
Really?
Yes.
I do love that. I think, I know that we haven't talked about this yet. Trisha O'Neill. Trisha O'Neill played Angie in the film.
She showed up on a Star Trek episode as a admiral at one point in time.
She also played a Klingon.
Oh God, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah, I was looking her up and I'm like, oh shit, that's where I know her from. Okay.
That's the only trivia I came up with on this whole
thing. Yeah, it was a tough one.
This one was tough. And did you use IMDb for Cannonball?
I tried to stay away from that one as much as humanly possible. So we should have some different stuff.
Oh, hang on. I forgot I have another page to go to here.
Oh.
Which,
I think I'm out of... Although, most of the filming took place in Arizona. The opening scenes of the race were filmed in downtown New York early on a Sunday morning on closed roads, including Broadway and Park Avenue, George Washington Bridge, and the Lincoln Tunnel, which was used from the exit from New York into New Jersey. The final duel between the Cobra and Ferrari was filmed at and in Los Angeles River, and the closing scene was shot at the Queen Mary in Long Beach. Additional filming was done in the city of Orange, specifically around the downtown plaza area.
I really don't have anything else to add to this because the next page that I went to that I had saved really says the same thing that IMDb and everything else did.
Yeah. Like I said, this movie was tough for trivia. It's just one of those. If you enjoy cars in any way, shape or form, the Ferrari and the AZ Cobra going back to back, Raul Julia's performance is great. He is the I not quintessential. What's the word I'm looking? He is that the Italian lover. Like at one point, he actually drops out of the Ferrari race and jumps into this car with this honey. Oh God! Oh, she is. God, I'd have to look her up. The blonde in the Mercedes that he meets at the gas station. Yes. Who is she? She had done something else. It took me a hot second to figure out who the hell she was. Colleen Camp is her name. And she was also known for... Oh, she played a vet in Clue, the maid.
Ah.
I was like, that's where I've seen her. And apparently she was also in Wayne's World. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's all we got to say about that. It's a wonderful film with not a whole shit ton of trivia about it. There are some scenes where the Camaro is tearing ass through the backwoods of some place and everything, and it's sliding through corners and stuff like that. It sounds awesome. There's just you know, you'll pick up bits of this film that are sucky. You'll pick up bits of this film that are awesome. And I just think overall, it's a great experience for anyone who enjoys cars in any way, shape, or form.
So 1 to 10 bourbons. What are you going to give it?
I can't remember the bourbon scale. Oh, how many bourbons it takes before I enjoy it?
Yeah.
That's only a sip. I always enjoy that movie, man.
Okay. So that's a 1 bourbon?
No, that's a taste.
It's 0.
I'll take it as 0. 2. Yeah, I'll do a 0, man. I can watch that.
Wow. I would say that it's about a 4 for myself. I love cars. I love sports cars. The Ferrari Daytona is my ultimate favorite car that I want to own someday, but I don't have $2 million.
That could even afford a replica.
Yeah, buddy. So yeah, there you go. On that note, we have been going now for 1 hour and 13 minutes. And guess what that means, ladies and gentlemen? That means that we need to take a break because my bladder is small.
Small bladder. Bye-bye.
Paul Blart.
A recording.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.